So I wanted to give some opportunity to give testimony. You know, Revelations 12:11 says they defeated him, the enemy, the devil, with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, right? And so that story of the future is the story of today, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this is how we build up our faith and put the enemy down, by glorifying Christ and sharing what happened. So if you were touched last week, I'd love to, you know, see your hand, you know, 20 seconds. It doesn't need to be this long thing. And you don't need to be like, and so I was like, believe in, and then I was like, right, just, no, that doesn't matter. just the facts, man. Jen, can I? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, because, you know.
So a prayer was set out last week for a left ear, which seems kind of strange. And, you know, anybody else would think, what is that? And immediately knew it was for me. I had struggled with ear pain for quite some time, lost hearing in my ear for about a month. And that prayer was for me. And thank God I haven't had any pain, any discomfort, anything. And anyone who's had children that have had ear infections know what that's like. So. Praise God.
Yeah, nice. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus, huh? That was a word of knowledge, and I found that anything, you know, in New England, this is my experience, word of knowledge happens, nobody responds, but it's probably not a New England thing. It's just that 50% of people who are being touched by the Lord don't even realize they're being touched, and so this miracle's happening, and then it's like it takes you a day or two to be like, wait a minute, I haven't, right? It's just gone, and so it's okay. The frozen chosen. Let's see. I would love to hear from Micah. Is Micah in the room, or did he?
He's in the teen room.
Ah, okay. So Micah and Kim were praying. Remember last week, and so Kim had been healed of a knee issue a couple weeks prior. So he ran off the stage, dropped his guitar, and said, "Will you pray for my knees?" Because you were touched, so I want you to just touch my knees. And he's been pain-free. Like he said, the first Monday, Tuesday, his knees were kind of like, felt like they were being adjusted. And then as of Wednesday, he's been pain-free in the knees. So thank God for that, amen. So thank you for saying yes. Is Megan in the room, or did she also go to Children's Church? Nursery? Okay, so... Megan was the one who, when I said I felt like the Lord has anxiety, like he wants to touch anxiety, right? And then Micah's wife, Casey, jumped up and said, I got the same thing. And we all began to pray. And she said, she was like, I do feel like this thing lifted. And she said, I feel like it tries to come and poke at me. And then I just, you know, I don't mean to put words in her mouth, but I'd give her the mic if she were here. Eric, would you mind sharing a little bit? Thanks, man.
Would you say a good hour or two?
Yeah. Let me sit down.
So I just briefly wanted to say that, you know, I don't know how to necessarily tell this situation without just giving a brief background. So when I came in to the church, I could believe in the Holy Spirit. I've seen it many times work. I felt it. You know, been in many situations. I know that I've prayed to Jesus many times, you know, not necessarily knowing what I was praying to, but I never had a connection to my Father, and I could never get that peace. I could never figure it out. And some really great things have happened in my life, and amazing things, and my sister came into my life, and she was here with me. And, you know, I've been able to find out a little bit about my Father, but not necessarily about that. It's just the feeling of being reunited, that I could feel the I guess, Trinity, whatever it is, the Father.
Father God.
Father God. And, you know, I've been hearing this crazy guy over here say, Daddy, Father, and it always made me cringe, man. I cringed, and, you know, I didn't cringe when I heard it. And I don't know what that means, but I do know that, you know, the reason I came here is because I didn't know how to be a father. I knew there was good men in my life, but I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to be a father to my kids. I didn't know what it meant. So I came in here, and that was it. It was just that selfish. It really was. I was like, and then I walked in, not here. It was at another church, and I said I was home, and it was amazing. The things that are going on in here are just amazing to me, and I love it, and I love the restoration, that the gift. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. Thank you for sharing. No, it's okay, man. You're awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Don't cringe. Daddy God, Abba Father. He does, huh?
When I started addressing God as Abba and Daddy, my whole relationship with him changed. All of a sudden, it stopped being this very formal thing and became more like when your little one runs in and throws himself into your lap. Mm-hmm. And says, Daddy, 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 look at this great thing. Or, Daddy, it hurts. Make it better.
Yeah.
It just totally changes your life when you see him as Abba Father. Amen. Not that there isn't a respect, element, but try calling him Abba this week when you talk to him. Just try it.
Sure.
And boy, it'll change things.
Amen. You needed the mic? Cool.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Last week I was healed. I had a prostate infection. Prostate is something that my dad had. He had prostate cancer, so there's some genetic thing going there. But I was up in the visuals here. I couldn't come down to be prayed over. And I looked around, and Nemo was right next to me.
Yep.
And this is about the time that Casey had said, I'm getting a sense that God wants us to pray for lower anatomy. That's gotta be me. All right, Nemo, time to pray. So he did, he prayed over me. I didn't feel anything miraculous. Monday I was at work, I could feel it flaring up, and I just was talking to the Lord saying, I'm believing in your healing power.
That's right.
And Tuesday, I didn't even realize I had been healed. It's just like, life goes on as normal. And then you realize, I have no pain. I feel great. So all glory to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you to my brother. Thank you to this church that gives us the space to have a healing service. It's awesome. I think for myself personally, this could be done more. Amen.
So cool. That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing. We've had 3 women healed of prostates as well. So bad joke. Anybody else? Who else has a testimony? I'm sorry, I'm a goof. Yeah.
I shared a little bit last week on stage of how the Lord was moving in me, but and unfortunately Alex and Marguerite aren't here today, but yesterday I went through the deliverance with them, and if you haven't done that, I would encourage you. It was life-changing. And it's just a continuation of how he moved last week through us and through me. And I think that that's something we need to continue to focus on, is that he's not done. It's not a moment in time or just a service. It's every day. But we have to be ready to receive.
Yeah.
And when we're obedient like that and we put our life in front of him and say, use me, or I obey, or and I'm here, he responds, and I love just hearing the testimonies, but I want to share that. But yeah, if you haven't gone through that deliverance, I would highly encourage it.
Yeah, it is one of those, you don't know even what to expect, right? And so it's a little bit of nervous, but it really is awesome. It's like waves of freedom just keep clearing out as you go. It's so cool. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Marguerite also had a testimony, but then she's traveling today. So it was Casey who had a word of knowledge for God was doing something in the stomach. remember? And we were like kind of looking around the room, and then Marguerite's like, oh yeah, I have gut issues, right? And so she just jumped in and claimed that word of knowledge as it must be my stomach. And since that prayer, she has had no stomach issues. She can sleep at night without issues, nothing coming up, nothing getting stuck. It's like, it's just been normal and, you know, really cool, right? So praise God. Praise God. Thank God for these things. Right?
Yeah.
So awesome. And this is life for us. This is like, this isn't just now wait for the next healing service. If you do that, you're missing the whole point. The whole point is that we can do that today. We can do that tomorrow. Yeah. Now, did you get touched in last week's healing service?
Not last week.
No? Okay.
But what I want to tell you is that nothing is impossible with God. So I was working, I was volunteering at our church back home. And I was quite busy because I was like managing the place. So cancer came out on my back. Came out like a horn, like that. The only way I know that is I looked it up on the internet to make sure, and it was. And I says, well, Lord, I don't have time for this. I just don't even want to have time for this. It's by his stripes I'm healed. Himself bore my sins, my iniquities, my sickness, my disease. It has no power over me. And I slapped a Band-Aid on it, a big one, because every time I bent over, and we were in a position where I was not only just doing desk work. If something broke, I was fixing it. If something needed done, I did it. And I bent over to repair, we had the door off the hinges and we were putting new hinges and stuff on it. And every time I bent over, it would go boing, and I mean, it would drive right through the wall. So I put a Band-Aid on it. I says, God, this is yours, I'm out of it. Took about 90 days, but if you speak to that thing every day and you say, listen, you got no authority over me. The blood of Jesus is on me. It's gotta go. And it went. And I never went to the doctor.
Amen. That's awesome. Amen. Nice, huh? Huh? That's my dad. That's so cool. Thank you to everybody who shared. And yes, let's do more healing services. When the Holy Spirit says to do it, I don't want to manufacture anything. I don't want to schedule it and be like, every 90 days we're doing it. All right, or every 30 days. But I want to make sure that we're listening. And when he says do it, do it. I told you last week that I had felt like he had said it was going to be like a Bethesda experience. Bethesda means house of kindness. And that we were just going to stir up the waters with our praise. And then people were going to get healed. And that's what happened, right? I mean, it wasn't like a whole lot of... okay, let's say it this way. It wasn't just a couple of really gifted people and then all the sheep... You know what I mean? Separating the cool people from the not so cool people. I mean, it was just like we were one big family together facing this thing, because that's really what matters, right? It's like the Holy Spirit is the thing. It's not the gifted versus the ungifted. So when you came and you bring your worship, and the thing that I sensed that I'm sure most of you would agree on, and that was the sense of unity. Like we were all rooting for each other. You know what I mean? Even from the moment we joined with that other church for prayer. And I totally ghosted them today. They wanted to be a part of our testimony time, but I didn't accept the call. I'll have to apologize later. Are you? That is so cool. That is so cool. And what's your names? Good to meet you. That's so cool. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. So. That's so cool.
On the phone, and then I had just really been praying about a children's program for a little one, and this little one when she's ready, and Pastor Ron actually said, like, oh, yeah, you should see the kids over there.
That's so funny.
Like, sorry, Pastor. We gotta go.
Well, don't... All right, don't do anything to hurt Pastor Ron. We're on the internet, but I'll still say he's my favorite pastor in this area. So don't do anything to hurt him, okay? Because I'll side with him. Yeah, welcome. I'm sorry. It is so nice to have you guys. Man, but anyways, yeah, I ghosted them because they start at 9, we start at 10, and now it's like the end of their service, and I just, you know what, sorry. We're just going to, well, I'm busted, I know. All right, so we had talked for the last couple weeks about God's power being reestablished in the church, and we as disciples are meant to engage spiritual warfare for other people and to bring healing into their life, right? And not just healing, but like we talked about, sozo means saved, delivered, and healed. It's like it's a holistic thing. Like the Lord didn't just say, hey, I died so that one day I could just like save your soul only, but the rest of you, you're on your own, right? I mean, he either loves us or he doesn't love us, and I know he loves us, so he loves all of us, right? And so there's no part of us that is off limits to him. And so wherever the presence of God is, there's renewal of life and there's restoration of wastelands. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Remember that? You guys wouldn't remember that. But we talked about how the scriptures was of the prophecy in Isaiah was saying, tell them that I'm coming. Tell them that I'm about to fill their wilderness with springs of water, right? So that you'll strengthen those who are upset. Strengthen them, right? Do you remember this? Some of you are shaking your head. Some of you are like trying not to be mean. Can I throw on the screen Isaiah 35 verses 2 through 6? It's probably like the sixth or seventh slide. There in the wilderness, the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God, and with this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees, right? Remember we talked about that? You have to encourage, you have to tell them it's happening. Well, why? If he's going to do it, if he's sovereign, let him just do it. He doesn't want us to be left out. He wants us to be part of that communication process. We're the bride, and we have a like heart with our husband, Jesus, in this analogy, okay? And so if he's coming, he wants the bride to be right there with him. He's coming, right? Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to stay with you. You said amen. And so say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He's coming to save you. And then what's the next word? Then. It's conditional, right? Sort of. It's based upon event one has to happen, event two happens next. Event one, tell everybody, encourage them, tell them not to be afraid, tell them to be strong, tell them to be, right? Don't fear. And then he will open the eyes of the blind, unplug the ears of the deaf, the lame will leap like a deer. Do you get it? It's conditional. He wants us involved. Yes, he's sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he said, I want you involved. Right? So who are we to say no? I mean, you can run, but you can't hide. God has designed grace to flow from our words to edify and strengthen the weak and prepare them for his coming. It's our attitude that comes out in the form of our words that confirms with someone that they can dare to believe. Right? Now remember, when Jesus went into Nazareth, it said he could only do a couple healings because they didn't believe. Right? So what could it have taken if three or four people in Nazareth would be like, no, we can believe. It's okay, guys. Yeah, he's the carpenter's, right? And he's Joseph's son, but I know this guy. Trust me. He's legit. You can believe. That could have changed the whole environment for everybody in Bethlehem, right? I mean, in Nazareth. Yes? I got Christmas on the brain. Are you with me? Okay. Nice. I wanted to just quickly review the Isaiah 61 Jesus really quickly, just to frame where we're going to go next with this. But Isaiah 61, this is the prophecy of Isaiah, but Jesus spoke these words in his church of his day and said, and today this prophecy is fulfilled. And he rolled up his scroll, put it down, and sat down, right? It was like the ultimate Jesus mic drop, right? And he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the captives will be released, the prisoners will be freed. He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. Those are the spiritual enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. He'll give joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. Are you catching something? Are you seeing the pattern? What's the pattern? Every time the enemy hands out something, Jesus flips it. Flip. He's right. It's in what we call it an upside down kingdom because he keeps flipping everything, and he's called us into the ministry of flipping. There's no other way to say it. If there's brokenness, he wants us in that place to flip it. Amen. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for its glory. It's so funny. The church is like, okay, no, that one is okay. Yes, be righteous. Be righteous. All the rest of that, that's gone. Right? No, it's all connected. I want you to be free, and I want you to be righteous, right? Planted for his glory, and they will rebuild ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. That's stuff that even your parents and their parents and their parents had built that had been destroyed. He's calling us into the ministry of rebuilding that. Right? Generational impact. Are you with me on that? This is so much more than a rah-rah kind of a story. This is like every day, meat and potatoes. This is us. Amen? Sorry, my nose is so runny, but today I got really affected by in worship, and now it's just can't stop it from. You know, it's so funny when I was thinking about this upside down kingdom and how Jesus keeps flipping everything in the scripture, and what was said of the disciples after Jesus had gone to heaven. The Pharisees noticed that it was the disciples turned the world upside down. Just keeps on rolling it, right? I love it. Do you? Yeah. And then this is so funny. I see this religious thing that doesn't love setting Christians free to do the flipping that we've been called to do. And I think some of it's fear, and I think some of it's control, right? And some of it is just like not wanting to stand out and be, break status quo. And some of it's like really hard to believe, right? Especially when you see the way we all live Monday through Saturday. And then right? And it's hard to believe that a guy who got done just being kind of a jerk at home could go out, you know what I'm saying? And believe for something. But that's why we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that we can see that it's from him and not ourselves, right? That's not an excuse to stay jerk. It's grace, right? And I'm going to get into that in a minute, what grace is. But I love how, so I got this book, right? And this was actually from your pastor. He let me see this book. It's from 1667. I got to hold it. It was rebound in the 1700s. But the original pages were still in the book. It was really cool. And it was written by a guy named Thomas Spratt, who belonged to the Royal Society of London. And his job was, he was part of a team of guys who wanted to pass on the natural knowledge. He was kind of a scientist, if you call it that. But back then, science was still fairly new. And so they were combining everything from philosophy to all the way down to practical science. And kind of, it was all sandwiched together as one thing, right? Today, we separate all these different, practices, right? We have science, and then we have philosophy. Okay, he starts this book, and I read quite a few pages, didn't finish it, but very old English and so on. But he's talking about, the Chaldean sciences and philosophies and the Greeks and the ancient Romans, and then he starts talking about the church, okay? And his point was to paint this trajectory. He's trying to make a point to pass on the way knowledge has moved through the ages, and he has an agenda he wants to move the world toward, more experimenting and less theorizing, all right? So, but this is what he said when he came to the church section, and I wanted to just share this because, this is a dude who's dead like almost 500 years, right? So he can't defend himself, and that's perfect. So he said, this was the condition of philosophy when the Christian religion came into the world, that maintained itself in its first age by the innocence and miracles and sufferings of its founder, that's Jesus, and his apostles. But after their deaths, when Christianity began to spread to the farthest nations, and now listen, okay, ready? When the power of working wonders had ceased, this is a guy just sharing his history lesson from the 1600s, when the power of God had ceased, okay? Oh, I hate it. It's just like it punches me in the gut. It was thought necessary for its increase that the professors should be able to defend it against the subtleties of the heathens. Okay? By those same ways of arguing which were in use among their heathen philosophers. You catching me? Without power, I don't have anything else to do, so I might as well beat them at their own game and just learn to out-argue them. 1667, okay? Oh, it actually kind of hurts. He moves on, he says, but now the Christians have had so good of success against the religion of the heathens by their own weapons, instead of laying them down when they were done, unfortunately fell to manage them one against another. Isn't it? So many subtle brains having been set on worked and warmed against a foreign enemy, when that was over, they had nothing else to do. They began to spoil and quarrel amongst themselves. Hence, religion, which at first appeared so innocent, peaceable, fitted for the benefit of human society, which consisted in the plain, direct rules of good life, charity, and the belief in redemption by one Savior, was miserably divided into 1,000 intricate questions which neither advanced true piety nor good manners. And I'm not trying to preach this as scripture. I'm just letting you know what a dude in the 1600s saw when he looked at the church and recorded the transition of knowledge as it transferred from the days of Jesus until, you know, 1600. He said, we lost the power and we converted to arguing. So what are you trying to say, Daryl? I'm trying to say, I believe that by returning to our roots and letting Jesus be our power once again, we can undo the desire to argue and defend. Amen. Right? There's an old saying that a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Right? And I just, I feel like I'm commissioning you. I feel like I'm trying to wake up hearts. I know many of you are here with me, so please don't think I'm talking down. I'm with you, okay? But we have to return to a place where we're believing for the everyday invasion of God into the dark places, okay? And like turning it over 100% ready to go back. Okay? Now, some of us, we got so upset when we saw church pervert the power of God. We saw men go from black suits to white suits and become very famous, right? And I'm not trying to talk down, but we got so turned off by God's power in imperfect people that we gave up on the power because we didn't want to be like the people. And in doing so, we forsook all that they had to offer that was good, and we just turned it all down as bad. We despised what God was offering through imperfect people. This is so important we grab this because there's another move of God coming. And guess who's imperfect today? Raise your hand. Get him up. And God's going to move power through ordinary, broken, imperfect people, right? And so the same judgment that we had upon those guys could be turned against us if we're not careful. So we better just let it go now. Yes? Do you think I'm crazy? Is there any part of you, like, I mean, I really don't care. I'm just trying to make sure that, like, am I teaching to the wrong group? Have you read the end of your Bible? Can I give you a spoiler alert? The Lord wins. Do you know why he wins? Because God is a winner. And he doesn't go from lose, 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 lose to the last second I'm going to pull out a victory. His heart, his nature is to win. It's victory, right? Okay, I hope I'm waking something up inside of you. I don't want the church to be losers any longer, forsaking things because we don't believe. Amen? I'm asking that he begins to do all the things that he's done in this place out there. And I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking me to do it. Right? And we're going to learn that that's probably my biggest concern with having the perfect service where the music is really great and we're all working together, we're all rooting for each other, because once we walk out of there, we're walking into a world where nobody roots for each other and the music stinks. Right? 1 second, please. And so what I'm looking for is, I'm looking for us not to get addicted to the environment and the atmosphere, but to be able to just rip and apply anywhere. Like Jesus walked into the dark places. He fulfilled the scripture that to those who walked in darkness, they have seen a great light. It wasn't like, so the people who were in the darkness walked into the light and then they were like, oh, isn't this lovely? Right? Jesus brought it. Right? All right, cool. So I think you got that point. Yes, mother.
Whenever I go out shopping or wherever, dentist, anywhere, I start
looking for people who need help, and they're all out there, even Christians. Nobody will talk to anybody. Everybody is so quiet. So I make it a point to just go to everybody and try to be friendly and talk to them. I see they need prayer. I say, you know, can I pray for you? And they go, oh, yes, of course. And I didn't think of that. And so my husband started doing it too. And he came across somebody that really needed prayer and got healed also. So, you know, don't be afraid and don't be such in a hurry all the time running around. We've got to put our life out there.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And yes, that is the danger of living on tight schedules and always having a phone to escape into, because... Right? When life is happening around us, we may not be listening to the Lord saying, hey, just go start up some trouble with that person over there, right? Like, start some trouble and see what happens. Yeah?
Yeah. Just, you know, Lord, prepare me today for a divine appointment.
Yep. Prepare me for a divine appointment, she said. Yeah.
Ask the Lord to prepare you today for divine appointments.
Yep.
And then look for them.
Right. Yeah. Bible says to
you
all who
gotta
seek.
Look for them.
Right. Amen. To all who seek, they find. Right? All right. So if we're not finding, it's because we're not looking. You gotta own that. All right. So I got a little, oh my goodness. It's okay. I don't think it's just you, right? No, it's just it's me. It's not you. It's me. It's fine. It's good. Can I just give you like one scripture? It'll start to take that apart, and then I think we're as far as I could go without having to open up another rabbit hole. Yes? Okay. With your permission. If you got to go, just go. Okay. Romans 1, Paul had never been to Rome at this point, and he kept saying, I want to come to Rome, I want to, right? And can I read what he said in reference to that? Like, I want to come. Could we put on the screens Romans 1:10? No, we can't? Oh, I thought you were shaking your head. No. All right. Romans 1:10. One of the things I always pray is for the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by you, okay? And that word, some spiritual gift, is charisma, right? You guys have heard that word? Okay. And we've talked about how, well, let me just say it this way. There are 17 uses of that particular word, charisma. You got to say it with your Latin accent because it makes the Greek sound cooler. There's 157 uses of the word charis, which is grace, and there's 17 uses of charisma, and when you throw the ma on the end, you're actually adding the operation or the endowment of grace, all right? So it's like grace ops. You've got grace ops, right? You guys are with me? You know what that is, right? All right, so we are. There's a grace, and that's God's, and then there's a grace ops, which is our mission to take God's grace into a situation. Right? Operational. There's 17 uses of that word grace. Now, one of those times, it is regarding the supernatural life through Christ, which opposes death and the world, the world of sin that was created by the fall, okay? So one use of grace in ops is to put down sin and to bring in supernatural life. One of those 17. Okay, one of those 17 is regarding the supernatural gratitude that we can have in a time of great despair. Same grace. Hallelujah. Someone got it. Amen. I'm going to run around this place, somebody. Someone just started a worship conga line. But do you get it? So one time the grace ops was used was to put down sin to bring supernatural life into the moment. One time was to bring supernatural gratitude into a situation that was miserable and in despair. It's a supernatural grace to worship and be thankful. Good? Two times it was regarding deliverance from sin. So sin is holding someone captive. Grace ops came in and bam, rolled that over, person's free. Right? That leaves how many? 12 more left of the 17 uses of grace ops. And I bet you were just wondering, right? Are you about to like tear the roof off? You're just so excited? Ah, tell me! Supernatural moves of the Holy Spirit through the gifts of the Spirit. 12 times grace ops out of 17. And we translated that in English to mean unmerited favor. Okay, fine. I'm good with that. Go back, if you don't mind, can we go back to the Isaiah 61? I'm gonna skip over here. Look at this. So it's time to announce a certain time that the Lord has come. What is it? His favor. The time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it has come all of these things. Yes. Opening prison doors, healing the brokenhearted, right? His divine favor has come. Oh, hallelujah, the grace is here. I'm so forgiven. And then 17 times more comes renewal of life. It comes freedom from sin that's owning us, and it comes healing and prophecy and words of knowledge and, right? Words of encouragement and all the stuff that the Holy Spirit is doing on the earth. And we rid ourselves of all of that and said, oh, no, I'd rather stick to arguing. Oh, look at that. Okay. So Paul said, I am so excited to come to Rome because I want to give you, this was Romans 1:15, I want to give you some spiritual gift, some charisma, some grace ops. I want to give it to you. I'm really excited about it. Right? And when we read that, we say, oh, I know what grace is. I know what the spiritual gift is. I know it, right? But if we understood the ops that he wants to bring into the church, and he's saying, and I want to encourage you with that, and I want to be encouraged myself, when I come and drop this Holy Spirit bomb right in your problem and watch him just manifest like the seed, the mustard seed, it just grows and then it turns into this tree and then birds come and squirrels come, and right? I want to invade into that place. Amen. Yeah. And so continuing on, and then I'll wind this sucker down. But Romans 1, he keeps talking, you know, 2-3 verses later, he says, so I'm eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. Oh, good. Let's get people saved. Great. For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the... Oh, good. You could read that. Power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Saving is soteria, which is also the root is sozo, saving, delivering, healing, showing favor, and showing kindness to all, the Jews, the Gentiles, right? This good news tells us how to make us right in his sight, and it is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, the just shall live by faith, right? And live is a verb, not a noun. Some of us are saying, I want my eternal life to come by faith. Well, yes, of course. That's like the baseline, right? Yes, it's started by faith. But he's asking us to live every day out of faith in the power of God and not be ashamed. Why would Christians be ashamed of the gospel? Only, my theory, when it's powerless. when it's just words. It's kind of embarrassing. Okay? I'm not being sacrilegious when I say it's kind of embarrassing to talk to a sinner about the fact that Jesus died on a cross. They're like, why? What's the point? Right? Well, because your sins. Well, why would God kill his son? That's mean. Well, yeah, nothing makes sense until you're like, but let me show you what that love in action can do. And then it's like, I get it. Wow, that was an amazing love, right? It's backed up by power, and we cannot be ashamed of the gospel and its power. They have to go together. We have to start asking, just like the church has been comfortable saying, when I go preach, I want to also bring something to give away, like food or something for like the homeless. We gave away backpacks so they're warm, or I want to help. Let's bring Christmas presents to the families with no Christmas, right? Let's do those. Those are good things, right? It's good. So, but we also need to be open now, start praying, God, I need you to open up my gifts to begin to heal or to prophetically minister to this person, to love on them, to show a supernatural compassion, to show something that speaks to them and brings power into the brokenness. Because without that, it's just words. And I don't want to be like the 1667 report, which said, having no power, we resolved to just arguing and convincing. Huh? Never. I've never argued anybody into the kingdom.
No, but never.
Never.
Even me, I wouldn't know something.
Yes.
I know it's powerless to argue.
Right.
Someone
else. Amen.
They can't.
They can't.
But God has to do all the work.
Because we're foolishness to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was going, here I go.
Right.
They're going to do the work now, no matter how stupid I say.
So when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, that word by is X. And if you actually just go pull up Strong's and go look up what X, you know, that Greek term means, I'll just read it for you. It's out from, proceeding from the place of, from this moment on, wholeheartedly from the heavenly realm. The just shall live by, wholeheartedly and from the heavenly realm, faith. You get it? It makes a huge difference, right? I'm not living by faith. I'm living out of wholeheartedly the heavenly realm. Jesus is here. Time to bring the name of Jesus into everything, right? Okay. You got it, right? Good. Go live it. I'll hear back next week. Okay. All right, fine. You want to pray? I get it. That was a joke. Nobody laughed. Dang. All right, I need a supernatural humor because mine's getting old.